Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in public health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. From Northeast Public Radio, this is the Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk, pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it, it's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
The Media Project is underway. Here we are, folks, with an opportunity for a little bit of commentary, analysis, and perhaps even some insight into the news media issues of the week. I'm Rex Smith of the Times Union. I created that phrase myself, did not plagiarize it from anyone. Thank you very much.
What, I'm Rex Smith of the Times Union?
No, the part about the media, what I say about the show, which you seem to find offensive. Dr. Alan Chartok is the CEO of Northeast Public Radio.
Yeah.
You have criticized me for saying that every week. And Rosemary Armeo is here, the professor at the University of Albany. You're tired of it already.
Yeah.
She, being investigative journalist and now a journalism educator. So how has that been, by the way? Are you fully acclimated now to this idea of teaching instead of practicing?
Oh, heavens no. You go in and say, I would like to do the following. And I go, that is a great idea. Here's the form to fill out. And in 3 or 4 years, we might do that.
I don't get it.
So bureaucratic and slow.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Every day I miss the newsroom, except I do know that the newsrooms I miss no longer really exist.
Yeah.
Actually, it's because the problem is you can think that you can do things in newsrooms, but the problem now is a lack of resources so that you can't do everything you imagine that you can do. And
Tough darts, I'm going to bleed blue borscht for you. So we're all in the same situation. We can't do everything we'd like to. So what do you want us to do? Get out the violins and play Hearts and Flowers?
Well, that would be very nice, except you'd do it on a banjo and we'd all have to run away. So, in any case, how do you get blue borscht anyway?
That was great. That was really good.
You use a very dark beet.
Dark beet, yes, I guess so. Here's part of the problem, and that is that, in fact, since you mentioned it, I gave you a great segue here. It's really very impressive. The American Society of News Editors, formerly called the American Society of Newspaper Editors, but we've dropped the word paper, does an annual census of newsrooms. And according to the ASNE, the total newsroom workforce in American newspapers, we shrank from 55,000 in 2006, that's pre-recession, to less than 35,000 in 2015. So that's a one-third reduction in newsroom staff, while the digital workload has increased over the same period. So that's why you should be brewing up some blue borscht here, Alan.
Some blue borscht?
Yes. So,
and playing the Hearts and Flowers on the violin for you?
That would be very kind of you. Anyway, it's just, it is difficult.
It is, as Governor Cuomo has been heard to intone, it is what it is. And that's it, you know, it is what it is. You have to deal with what you've got, just as everybody else does.
Well, the difficulty is that this has happened because revenue is fleeing traditional news sources and going, of course, to the internet. And it's not just print. I mean, digital advertising online via mobile devices, like that telephone in your pocket, has passed broadcast TV now for the
first
time.
It's extraordinary. And I believe it. I don't watch television anymore. What I do is I read my device 3 times a night, looking at the New York Times and your great paper, the Albany Times Union. You do work. You do great work. As you know, and I know, and Rosemary knows, because all of us have had to write columns in our lives. I write 2 a week. In abject panic, I sit down knowing I have to get a column out, and I look at the Albany Times Union, and you've given me a gift. And the gift was just that...
What? Stop.
You think I'm being too nice to him?
I'm just setting him up.
It's fine. You know
that. He does the best he can with the resources he has, but this is distressing, horrible news. The Times Union could and should be much better than it is, and you can't because you don't have enough people. And what's missing is not something you're going to see every day, but what's missing from our newspapers now is a sort of in-depth, investigative reporting, lovely writing and stories. And I'm looking at 2008, the year that I jumped ship, and it was a precipitous drop in that year. but look where it is since then, between 2008 and now. Just down, down, down. And we ought to all be worried in the news about where it's going. Well, it's not news on your mobile phone. Those are headlines.
Well, I do.
Are there books? Are there?
Well, except that we provide a lot of the news that's on your mobile phone. That is,
that's
people
right.
don't recognize
they steal
the
from
source
you. The
of
the aggregators steal
well,
from you.
But you're not bringing people in. You know, I'm seeing them the supply end. And the brightest students, even the great number of students, are not going into journalism because this is what they're seeing, this graph.
So where are they going?
I think IT.
Yeah, a lot of technology stuff. That's
so
true.
So Rex, I have a question for you, because as you're moaning and groaning here and as the violins are playing in the background.
Thank you very much.
And as the borscht is being served, my question to you is this. It's my understanding that Hearst and that your newspaper make a good deal of money. You make a big buck.
I'd also like to point out that I don't fully agree with Rosemary's assessment that we're not doing investigative reporting or beautiful writing.
Not.
You know, I think we do a lot of it. Could we do more? Of course, but we always could have done
the numbers
more.
Are way down. IRE used to keep investigative reporters and editors. Mm. That's a group in the United States that tracks this stuff.
That Rosemary used to run, by the way, so she knows what she's talking
so
about.
So she's invested in this.
Well, here's the thing. They run a contest, a very well-known contest, and for years they said, oh, everything's fine. Look, the numbers are up. Lots of work is still being done. That's not true anymore. The numbers of entries are down. There's less investigative reporting being done.
True. Less being done, and it is harder. And so the difficulty is, in a place like Albany, of course, we don't pay as much as the New York Times. I believe the people of the capital region of New York deserve great journalism no less than the people of Manhattan,
Absolutely.
Brooklyn, and Queens.
Correct.
But it's harder to do it here. And therefore, my people have to be even more dedicated. Might be that is the people I work with in my newsroom. And I think many of them are. And so I do want to say, yes, it is harder. There is less of it than there should be, but still there's a lot. But there are good signs, you know. When you think about, Alan, your local newspaper in Massachusetts, the Berkshire Eagle.
You were
telling us something about this. What's going
on
there?
Well, what's happened is it was owned, as you know, by Digital First, and they unloaded it. And
Digital First being a nationwide company that is a low-cost operator.
Yeah.
They are known for going in. They were owned by a hedge fund.
Yeah.
And hedge funds, you know, don't really care about journalism. They care about
hedge.
And funds. They
and
care
funds.
About funds.
Yeah.
So it's now on the been sold to.
So it's been sold to a distinguished group of fairly wealthy people who came together and said, our community in the Berkshires deserves a good newspaper, and we're going to invest in it. Now, I thought they would buy it and then it wouldn't do too well. But interestingly, I'm told by their excellent editor, Kevin Moran, that they're putting all kinds of resources into the operation so that they're hiring loads of new reporters. And so I'm thinking, with one exception on that committee, by the way, I'm thinking that they are the new model. I mean,
I would love to see the Times Union and the Berkshire Eagle be a model of what's happening, but I have to be the dying dinosaur growl of gloom here. We used to see a whole bunch of great regional newspapers. You didn't have to be at the New York Times or the Washington Post to see great journalism. Where today are the Miami Heralds, the Philadelphia paper, the Providence Journal paper? Their newspapers are dying, and I'm sorry, I don't see the replacement yet. I do all the reading, and I tweet. I'm online, and I see the social media. We are losing out on journalism. It is not as powerful as it once was. We're seeing it in this election.
Here's what scares me about what is being done at the Berkshire Eagle, and I'm very happy to hear about this investment by locals. It does present some opportunities, but the model, unfortunately, could be the Orange County Register, the wonderful big newspaper in California that went through a very good period under the editorship of a friend of mine, Tawny Katz. It won Pulitzer Prizes. The difficulty there, though, a few years ago, it was bought by a wealthy young man, Aaron Kushner, who decided that he was going to invest in it. Mm. And they bought all kinds of additional newspapers around the area. They invested a lot. They said, we're going to buy, we're going to make a lot of reporter investments. And unfortunately, they went broke. And he has sold it, and it has now gone into the hands of a little company, and it's not in good shape anymore. So trying to get a couple of the details of it as I'm looking at my mobile device.
What's taken over? That's the whole thing. I mean, if it's a matter of like, okay, newspapers are dead, long live the name, the new media, well, it's not there.
Well,
it certainly isn't there in the area I care about the most, which is in-depth investigative reporting.
Well, yes, but I think there's a false dichotomy here between, you know, newspapers and the excellent online work that they're doing. So we can't really... You're making a
I'm trying to think of what excellent online you're referring to.
You're making a grotesque face, and I resent it. No, but I...
Okay, we'll take this one.
If you could have seen that, that was great.
Well, for those people who are listening on the radio, and that's the only way you can get this, she put her hands in the sides of her mouth and made one of those faces.
There you go.
So okay, but I'm saying that when Rex is doing more and more on the internet, so you can't just say his newspaper or the Berkshire Eagle, because you are in fact reading all night long in the New York Times. You're reading their work, so it's not newspapers anymore. It's news.
It's the New York Times. Even in the I read the Times Union, and I'm reading the New York Times in the Times Union.
No, it's not being done. Not true.
Rex severely resents what you just
said.
There's very little New York Times in the Times Union.
We never covered the world and the nation. We covered our local community, and our local community is not covered by the New York Times. So actually, there's more New York Times in the Schenectady Gazette than there is in the Times Union. My company is Hearst. Which owns a number of newspapers around the country.
Rosebud.
And they're about to make a huge investment in the digital side of the operation.
Exactly.
Now, the difficulty with that is, the sense is that we need to be there to deliver the stuff on these mobile devices. I'm shaking my little mobile device at the microphone here so you can see it. But what has powered newspapers has always been, as Rosemary points out, the size of the staff so that you could cover the beats effectively that nobody else could cover. What sets apart newspaper coverage from television or radio in local communities is we've had the people who have the expertise.
Sure, you could go to the Board of Education, you could go to the court. One day years ago, I went to a court in Great Barrington because I was bored that day, and that's before I did any of this other stuff. And I sat there, and I was one of the only people. It was fascinating stuff. But of course, now we don't have the resources to do that.
Right. So even, I'm sorry, I don't mean this to be critical of Rex. I think he's doing the best he can. But like all newspapers, your local coverage has fallen down. I remember when you did cover local school boards. Now you have how many people covering SUNY and every school board?
Hey,
12 school boards?
Hey,
you don't.
You just said that. What do you?
Well, I'm emphasizing it.
Because
all we're doing is the same thing that has happened since newspapers began to scale down, saying, well, we've cut 45% of our staff, but you won't see any difference in coverage. And the truth is you do, and we have suffered, and we're seeing a cutback now in political coverage.
Okay.
And that comes from lack of talent.
The solution is that
we start investing in people rather than in the digital side, equipment.
Wait a minute. Come on. Thank you, Ms. Dinosaur. Now, how are we going to start investing?
Wait.
So we're
Jeff Bezos is doing. He has
tons of
money.
He doesn't care about a profit, as you know.
That's correct. Nor do the people in
Cumming
and Pittsfield
we
care.
Used to not care as much as we do.
Okay.
Gannett, who started
they
this
made
whole thing.
A lot more. Newspapers made a lot more. You know, remember Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's newspaper, the Buffalo News, used to have 45% profit margin, or maybe even above that every year. And so they had a lot of money to
But it was Gannett who made it insistent that you had that kind of profit every year. Newspapers always made a lot of money when it was good years, and then they lost it when there were bad years.
Okay.
And it was Gannett who said, no, good company makes money all the time.
I'd like to register for a comment. Would that be all right, Ms. Chairman?
Well,
into this. You get me stirred up and then me to be quiet?
I don't want you to be quiet. I was the one who brought you here. And I'm very
I made you and I can break you.
And I'm very happy
this
that you're
here. This is a Donald Trump moment.
And I'm very happy you're here. We couldn't do without you. No, but I have to say that I think there is a model. And as some of these places begin to go broke or really are in hard times, it may well be that the Bezoses of the world come forward, or that the people in Berkshire County, many of whom are multimillionaires, come forward and say, we want to do the right thing for our community. We believe in this.
Kind
that
of like Rupert Murdoch
model.
Has done with the New York Post, right? That he sustained it, even though it's losing money.
Yeah. Well, he did it.
And I'm so glad he has. I'm sorry, just for the headlines, I'm glad he's done it.
Well, it is extraordinary, and clearly he wanted to be read in the White House, and you know, and that's been done. On the other hand, the Daily News hasn't lost nearly as much as the Post has, right, Rex?
I think that's true. Yep.
And so it can be done.
You can lose less.
You can lose less. There may well be, of course, a not-for-profit model that will emerge.
Yeah.
There is some of that going on. We've said this before in newsrooms like ProPublica, Texas Tribune, Center for Investigative Reporting out in California. The difficulty is sustaining that on the local level. And maybe WAMC is the way. You know, maybe you guys can figure out a way to raise enough money to have enough of a journalism staff to be the model for digital delivery in the future.
Well, I hope so, Rex. And I hope that if things really go badly for you, you know, there's always a place here for you.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
He's going to give you my place.
Well, I'm only 75.
Only, you know, the New York Times is the one that has found a way to do this so far. I mean, they are, of course, making a lot of money on digital. They now have 1.5 million digital-only subscriptions. Notwithstanding that, Donald Trump says, you know, not good. He said, and let me just read his words precisely, no matter how good I do on something, they never write good, the Republican presidential nominee said. I mean, they don't write good. They don't know how to write good. And I guess if they did, they're certainly not doing it. So there you go. They don't write good.
Well, that's ungrammatical, and it took a lot of heat for it. But when I first read it, and even now when you're reading it, I think he meant like they don't write good stories. They only write bad stuff.
Right.
And that's right.
I didn't take that, and I just thought it was some of his other mindless criticism of any newspaper or news source that doesn't applaud him.
Well, first of all, I quite frequently will use ain't on the air to give emphasis, right? I'll say ain't.
Yeah.
And then I'll hear from the League of English majors who are very critical about them, but it does have some emphasis. I do want to talk about Trump for a moment, if I may, about
Please.
What's happening here. I do believe that the New York Times, the Washington Post, and several others have decided this guy is such a threat to democracy that they are going to exceed what they might have done in any other presidential race. Because, as was Meg Whitman said,
this is
how Mussolini and Hitler got started. This is a turning point. It can happen here. Well, if you believe that, and you're the people who are running the New York Times, and you really believe it, well, you really have to go that extra inch and a half.
Yeah, I think you're making a good point that there is more. The thing is, he provides so much material that is worth covering, and I think editors have made the decision, we're going to say that this is our usual standards of what is newsworthy, we're going to stick with, even though it means we're writing more negative stories about this guy than we are about the other candidate. And so they're giving him that much attention.
But Rex, they're giving him the attention, in my mind, because they consider him such a threat.
That's an interesting point.
And therefore, they cannot let this country, in their minds, go down the wrong road.
We have an alternative viewpoint presented by a professor from Hampshire College, Susan
that
Tracy,
would be emerita,
Professor Emerita of History, cites a study by Thomas Patterson published by the Shorenstein Center.
He, by the way, is
at
a very
Harvard.
Famous communications expert.
Is that right?
Yeah, he is.
So her conclusion is, in her words, in Professor Tracy's words, in short, Trump's antics made a good story while Clinton's overly analytical approach and her history earned her more negatives than anyone in the race up to convention time. Now, I do note, however, that the Patterson study was called pre-primary news coverage of the 2016 presidential race. It looked at CBS, Fox, NBC, The Times, the LA Times, The Wall Street Journal, and The Washington Post and NPR. So they're talking about the pre-primary coverage of the candidates. So her point is that the media was biased against Clinton in favor of Trump.
She's wrong. The truth is... Oh, no, I think...
What do you base that on?
I'm basing it on the fact that the media knows a good story when they see one, and that Clinton didn't give them the good stories. This guy, every time he says something really stupid or dumb, or it is incumbent on the contemporary media to play it because they didn't when they considered Hitler a clown. This guy is not a clown. He's very important. And therefore, if he gets to be president, he's going to lead the country in a way which many of us don't want to see. And so, therefore, I think it's responsible of the press to do what they're doing. Well, what are you going to do? See some kind of boring...
I think it's really lazy on the part of the press. Trump loves coverage. He courts the press.
So what's the answer?
Even when it's to do your job, to have people who do their job.
Well, but, no, I don't get that. That doesn't work.
What do you mean?
I might try to explain this, Alan. Okay. So Trump calls reporters into the towers. He gives them interviews. He feeds them material, sometimes even not as himself. Hillary, on the other hand, has had a record of being attacked by the press. So she holds them at bay. She, even when she is talking to them, she holds back things. She doesn't speak correctly. She's uncomfortable. She's not good interview material.
Okay, so you're the press. What do you do, Rosemary? You know, you can't just say that. We get all of these letters. Yeah, Rex gets them. I get them.
Let's not take interviews. Let's not do interviews with Donald Trump where he says these outrageous things that are newsworthy. Let's instead
let's
go to Hillary.
Let's not go to Trump Tower every time we're going to talk to him, Rex. Let's not when
accessible.
He calls up in the middle of. He is accessible. That's
what
I'm saying. And that's why, that's one of the big reasons he's getting much more coverage than she is.
And it doesn't necessarily work to his advantage because he, but.
Except his point of view is any publicity is good. It doesn't matter whether
well, is that true? He's beginning to fall behind in the polls now.
Alan, that's a recent dip, and we will see where that goes. He has done very well on the amount of publicity he has. He has not had to raise money. He has not had to do the usual things that candidates do.
There's, by the way, Professor Tracy attached a second study by Dr. Patterson, whom you, Thomas Patterson of Harvard, that notes that while Hillary Clinton got more coverage than Bernie Sanders, much of it was negative. So
right.
Rosemary has been correct. Professor Tracy says there is media bias against Clinton, as far as these news organizations, those national
Okay, so
news
let me get this straight, Professor. Let's face it, Professor. I'm a professor, too. You know, I mean, and Rosemary is also.
Such a
I'm
snob.
The only
Such a
non-professor.
Snob.
Well, no. I mean, I just don't want anybody to out-professor me. That's
all right.
But I do want is to say that, you know, Hillary is Hillary. She's a policy wonk. She does what she does. Trump needs to be covered because every time he does something stupid like John McCain and saying he's not a hero or any of the other guys, this is very indicative of what we could face in a Trump presidency. Therefore, it's very important to cover him and to listen to him.
But so is Hillary's wonkishness and attention to detail. Hasn't the press played a role in this idea of the people that throw a bomb, throw a wrench into the works, we don't care how crazy he is, we need something completely different?
Okay.
Didn't we play a big role in that?
Yes, we did. Okay, so let's assume that you're right about this. I want to go to Rex for a minute here and ask him this question. Rex, if you have a policy issue that you can put 3-column headline on the front page of your newspaper, or a wonkish discussion of the enema habits of so-and-so, then
well, that's bad reporting, Alan. I would say,
no,
Rex,
it's not
I
bad
want to
reporting.
Do a story on why this woman rose to the top. First woman ever. How'd that happen, and why Hillary? And what does it
you
mean for the next first
done?
Little?
How, and
no,
once
I don't.
Oh, I think that's been done many times.
I agree with Rex.
Okay, I'll look forward to the clip.
Once you've written it, how many times are you going to write it again?
How many times are we writing that Donald Trump is an idiot?
It's all kinds of new stuff. There's something
new
every day. You're going to ignore that stuff, right? You're not going to report the stuff that Donald Trump is doing. You're instead going to write more about Hillary's policies on this and that. I'll give you an example. The paper that is on Alan's desk right now that he said he found, that's the other piece to my earphone here.
Uh-huh.
It hurts without that on here, that little cushion.
Now it
How
hurts.
About that?
Good, it's digging into your ear, too. Good.
So Alan was saying how much the Times Union gives him his column material, and what he's taking is this little jazzy story about pay raises for state legislators instead of the wonkish policy story that I also put on the front page about the new federal education law. And I'll bet you that nobody's reading that federal education law story, and people are up in arms about the pay raise for state legislators. That is
Come on,
the way
it is a 48%
are.
Pay raise. That gets
See?
Attention.
And you didn't pay attention to the other education story, did you?
I read
rest
them
my
both.
Case.
I read them both.
Oh, well, that feels better. Thank you. I have a cushion on my ear now. Where did we end up?
Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
His
earphones fell apart, and
oh,
he just put this
goodness.
Other thing,
and
this
it was
piece
painful.
Of rubber.
It's painful around here. You need to invest more in this radio station, Alan. You see, there
you're
you go.
You're so right. And everybody who gives until it hurts will be rewarded so that Rex can have the piece of rubber on his...
on my ear. It would be very nice. Thank you. So anyway, I don't think we've resulted, we've gotten anything
Resolve
picked
this.
Out.
No,
here.
No.
We agreed that there is not enough money to fund all the reporting that needs to be done. We have managed to disagree about who has gotten the worse press coverage, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, and about whether we ought to be covering the Trump antics. Rosemary saying, no, we shouldn't be covering
it's ridiculous.
It all. Yeah.
She's just wrong.
Well, what can you do? All right. And
I know, the listeners out there are with me.
Oh, this is Alan's usual tactic. Yeah. You can share your point of view. Media at WAMC.org. Media at WAMC.org is how you can share your thoughts and tell us whether you'll ever listen to this show again. Thank you for joining us on the Media Project.
They claim to represent the common people. It's funny, Wall Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.